Welcome to the Wealth is in the Details podcast. In this podcast, financial planner Peter Raskin helps families and business owners understand and prepare for their wealth journey. Along the way, thoughtful and detailed planning can provide clarity and confidence as clients confront a multitude of financial decisions. Listen in as Peter shares stories and insight into people's wealth journeys. Now, let's get into today's podcast.
References to transfer or conversion in the context of this podcast mean special rollover, and education savings account refers to a 529 plan that meets the requirements under Secure 2.0 Act.
Back in the day, pensions were a major source of retirement income, but today we talk about IRAs. They really began in 1974 with the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, and they were limited. Now, today, the accounts play a critical role in retirement planning. And of course, nothing is simple. I'm Patrice Socorro with your host, Peter Raskin. And this time around, the Wealth is in the Details will focus on individual retirement accounts. Well, Peter, it is a new tax year, and there is one topic that seems to keep coming up. It's individual retirement accounts. Seems to be an evergreen topic of discussion. Do you ever get tired about talking about IRAs?
Patrice, absolutely not. It's a gift to financial planners that keeps on giving. Yeah, the rules change each and every year. There's really a ton of complexity, and every client situation is different. IRA planning means, you know, one must consider lots and lots of different areas of financial planning: income, taxes, investments, life expectancy, and estate planning. So when you add it all up, what's not to like, at least for the financial planner? It's almost like the financial planning industry colluded with the accounting, legal, banking, insurance, and investment industries to lobby Congress to come up with a complex system with its own language so that the most affluent Americans need some sort of professional advice. So it's ideal for us.
It's so true. All right, but everybody, just about everybody has or will have some sort of IRA. So it really does touch a lot of people here.
It does. But I think it's just important to note that there are lots of people in our society that don't have access to retirement accounts, and nor do they have the ability really to save much. So we're really talking about affluent, middle-class Americans and above that are privileged enough to have retirement savings. And I don't take that for granted. I think it's just an important note. But the bottom line is that IRA planning affects almost 100% of our clients, and probably the vast majority of our listeners.
Right. And all right, we are into tax prep season. So what do listeners need to consider when it comes to making their IRA contributions?
I've mentioned this so many times, but I like to think that we should do tax preparation throughout the entire year. But this is the time of year when we actually have to pay our taxes for the income we earned in the previous year. We need to file tax returns at the federal level and state tax agencies. So there are some deadlines. April 15th for residents of most states is the deadline for making IRA contributions for the previous year. I live in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and the date is April 17th in 2024. Mm-hmm. And that's because there's the Patriots Day holiday on April 15th, which we celebrate in Massachusetts. And then on April 16th, there's Emancipation Day in Washington, D.C. So that puts it off to April 17th. But most taxpayers are going to need to make their 2023 IRA contribution before April 15th, 2024. In 2023, the limit was $6,500 for someone younger than age 50 and $7,500 for someone age 50 or older.
All right. Let's take a step back and let's break this down. What is a traditional IRA, and can I make a contribution?
Yeah, these are the basics, but it's important to review them. A traditional IRA is an account held at a bank or a financial institution like an investment company. It's owned by an individual. And it's just, again, it's important to note, it's never a joint account. Because clients often ask us that. It's always owned by an individual. And there are lots and lots of rules. And in today's podcast, we just are not going to go over all of them. It would be a year's worth of podcasts. just on IRAs. But the most important thing, if you are making contributions, you have to have earned income. And earned income means you have to work. You know, it's not income from investments. You actually have to get a paycheck. If you're self-employed, got to file a Schedule C, or you may be receive a W-2 from your employer. But you have to have earned income. The other thing that's important is the money that is in the IRA, in this account, all the earnings grow tax deferred. And that's
deferred.
Deferred. It's not tax free. It's deferred. Eventually, someone will have to pay tax on that account and those earnings. Another, just the basics, there's a 10% penalty, tax penalty, if you take distributions before age 59 and a half. Now, there are some exceptions, and we just don't have time to go through all the exceptions today, but they're minimal or they're limited. You have to pay regular income tax on the untaxed portion of your traditional IRA. So again, 10% tax penalty, plus you have to pay regular income tax on that untaxed portion.
All right. And you say there are exceptions here, though, too.
There are exceptions to those distribution rules. But again, let's not go through those details today because they're pretty limited.
Okay.
Another basic is, and this is very important to at least understand, starting at age 73, now that the law says age 73 now, it used to be 70 and a half, it's now 73, retirees are required to start taking a little bit out of their IRAs each year. The IRS publishes a life expectancy table. And at age 73, the IRS's table says to us that you might live 26 and a half years longer.
I love their half years.
Yeah. So that's what the table says. So if you turn 73 in 2024, you take your account balance as of December 31st, 2023, and you divide that balance by this factor, 26.5. So in the first year you turn age 73, the required minimum distribution, RMD, you'll hear that time and time again, the RMD from your IRA is a bit less than 4%. No matter how much is in there, it's still about 4%. At age 74, that factor is a little bit less. It's 25.5. So the IRS thinks you're only going to live 25.5 years if you're age 74. And at age 75, the factor is 24.6. So you can see the factor is declining, which means you have to take a larger percentage of your IRA account balance each and every year. That's a big tax issue for a lot of people, but it's an important issue that we need to consider over time.
True. Well, when is a traditional IRA contribution deductible?
Yeah, this is one reason why we always talk about IRAs at this time of year, because people are trying to reduce their taxable income from the previous year. And so this just adds much more complexity. We have to ask a series of questions. Matter of fact, we have a sheet that takes us through different scenarios in order to determine if it's actually deductible. So the first question is, are you an active participant in an employer-sponsored retirement plan, like a 401k or a pension? And if the answer is no, if you're not an active participant and your tax filing status is single, you're not married, then your 401k, then your IRA contribution is 100% deductible.
Okay.
So that's pretty easy.
Yeah.
If you aren't a participant in an employer-sponsored retirement plan and your tax filing status is married filing jointly, so now you're married, and you have to ask us further question, is my spouse an active participant in an employer-sponsored retirement plan? And the answer is no, then 100% of the contribution is deductible.
Okay.
So same answer. That's okay. However, if your spouse is an active participant, even if you're not, and your 2023 modified adjusted gross income exceeds $228,000, then your 2023 IRA contribution is not deductible.
Oh, bummer. Well, that's a bummer.
Yeah. So you can just see how this gets more and more complex as we keep on asking questions. So if just another example back to if you're single and you are a participant in an employer-sponsored retirement plan and your modified adjusted gross income in 2023 is more than $83,000, your 2023 IRA contribution is not deductible.
Hmm.
You have to go through the details. We don't have time. Right. It's too hard to follow the numbers on a podcast. You have to see it in writing. At least that's my opinion.
That's true.
And so certainly listeners can give us a call and we can go through that with them. And their accountant can absolutely tell them what is it and what isn't deductible. That's part of the process. Just the basic questions, are you or your spouse participants in an employer-sponsored retirement plan? And then what is your modified adjusted gross income? Your accountant can tell you what your modified adjusted gross income is. There's a little bit of a formula. We need to add some tax-free income that is not included in other parts of your tax return, and we need to add Social Security to that. Anyway, it's just an important clarification what your modified adjusted gross income is.
I think as we said in the beginning, it is not simple. It is not.
Nope.
All right. Well, what about the Roth IRA? There seems to be a whole different set of rules with this one. How do I decide whether to contribute to a Roth or a traditional IRA?
Yeah, we love Roths. Again, complexity is a planner's friend. But let's review those basic rules. Some of them are very similar to traditional IRAs. Number one, you have to have earned income to make a Roth IRA contribution. Earnings grow tax deferred. However, they may be tax free. So the earnings are tax free if the IRA has been established for 5 years or longer. This 10% penalty tax on earnings distributed to prior to age 59 and a half is only on the earnings. So that's just an important distinction. But if it's held for, if you're over 59 and a half, you've held it for 5 years, everything that comes out of the Roth IRA is tax-free. So that's a real big advantage for the Roth. Another big advantage is that there is no required minimum distribution.
That's because Uncle Sam doesn't care if he gets his taxes. He's got them already.
Exactly. That's the key. Yeah. That's why the IRS forces you to take money out of your traditional IRA because they want the tax. Yep. In general, I think the Roth is a great vehicle, especially if it's likely you'll be in a higher marginal tax bracket in the future, especially during the retirement years. If you're likely to be in a similar or lower marginal tax bracket in retirement, a traditional IRA might suit you fine. So it really depends upon your situation. Do you think you might need distributions from your IRA to fund your lifestyle in retirement? If the answer is no, then maybe you want to look at a Roth because of the fact that there are no required minimum distributions. Another important clarification on when you can make, if you can make a Roth. If your 2023 modified adjusted gross income exceeds $153,000 if you're single, or $228,000 if you're married filing jointly, you cannot make a direct contribution to a Roth IRA. So that's an important limitation.
All right. So what are my options if I can't make a direct contribution? Do I have an alternative?
Yeah, you might. And we call that the backdoor Roth IRA contribution. Again, I've talked about this on previous podcasts, but I think it's just important to describe it in more detail. You can make a non-deductible traditional IRA contribution. That's always possible and available to you. In a non-deductible traditional IRA, your earnings grow tax deferred. And when you draw it out, those earnings are eventually taxable.
Right.
But if you make this non-deductible traditional IRA contribution and then convert the non-deductible traditional IRA to a Roth IRA, assuming there isn't much growth in that non-deductible traditional IRA, it will mostly be a non-taxable event.
But what about the taxes that you, when you convert it, then you're going to be paying the taxes? Is that it?
Well, because this is a non-deductible IRA contribution, you're not getting any write-offs for making it. If you've got money sitting in your savings account and you're eligible to make a non-deductible traditional IRA contribution, you might as well move it from one pocket to another pocket. And by doing it this way, making a non-deductible traditional IRA contribution and then converting it to a Roth IRA, you're basically moving it from a taxable, tax-deferred environment or a taxable environment to a tax-deferred environment, eventually to a tax-free environment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's got to be a catch here. Come on.
There is a catch. Here's the catch. If you have other traditional IRA accounts with tax-deferred earnings, then you have to aggregate all of your tax-deferred IRA account balances, and your conversion is subject to the pro rata rules of conversion. So let me just give you an example, because I think it's the best way to describe it. If you make a non-deductible traditional IRA, if your non-deductible traditional IRA is 5% of your total traditional IRA account balances.
Hi, this is Catherine Broy from the Raskin Planning Group. Apologies for the interruption. Thanks so much for listening to Wealth is in the Details. We hope you're enjoying it so far. If you have any questions or would like to talk more about this topic, please visit our website at www.raskinplanning.com. Look for the podcast's show notes and connect with us via social media.
Then 95% of the converted amount will be taxable in the year of the conversion.
Oh my, that could be sizable.
It could be sizable, yeah. And so that may not be the result you want. There is a workaround. And the way around it is to roll over. If you're still employed, you have to still be fully employed. You need to be a participant in a employer-sponsored 401k plan, for example. Mm-hmm. You can roll over all of your tax-deferred IRA account balances into the employer-sponsored retirement account, like the 401k. And when you do that, you now, after you do the rollover, you won't have any tax-deferred IRA accounts. They're in the 401k, and therefore you don't have anything to aggregate, and therefore you can avoid that extra income tax on the conversion.
Okay. That's paperwork. That's paperwork. You need somebody to do that for you.
You do. It's not complicated. It just can be a hassle to do. Right. But once you've done it, it's not an issue at all. It's easy.
It's easy, he says. Yes.
Yeah. It's easy, possibly with some help.
Right. All right, Peter, I know we've just kind of touched the surface here, but is there anything new about IRAs that you want to make sure we talk about?
Yeah, there's one very new IRA option that's effective starting now in 2024 that I wanted to mention. It's about IRAs, but it's also about education accounts, 529 plans. Mm-hmm. So this new tax law legislation allows 529 plan, which are education savings plans that have been open for 15 years or more, to be converted to a Roth IRA. Now, that's kind of interesting because we have lots of clients where the kids are finished with undergraduate, graduate schools, mm-hmm. And they just don't have any, there's no place to spend the money.
Oh, that's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's good news. It's money that's locked into a 529 plan, but the kids aren't going to really take advantage of it. If they take it out, their taxes, it just becomes money locked in. Mm-hmm. And so this new feature is really quite advantageous for some people. But once again, there's lots of rules and limitations. And I just want to quickly review this option. The first one I just mentioned, the account has to have been established at least 15 years ago.
Okay.
So if you're doing it in 2024, it's got to be at least 15 years old. The dollar amount you're transferring from the 529 plan of the Roth must have been in the account for at least 5 years. So this can't be a recent mm-hmm. contribution. This needs to be a contribution that's aged like fine wine in the 529 plan for at least 5 years. Another limitation, the beneficiary of the 529 plan account and the account owner of the Roth IRA must be the same person.
Ah.
Okay. The Roth IRA account owner must have had earned income for the tax year of the conversion. So if this is the first year in 2024, that Roth IRA owner needs to have had earned income.
Okay.
Just like a regular IRA contribution. The amount to be converted from the 520 plan account to the Roth IRA account can't exceed the Roth IRA owner's earned income or the Roth IRA contribution limits, whichever is lower. So for 2024, The Roth IRA contribution limit is actually $7,000 for someone age younger than age 50. So that's the limit on a conversion, or depending upon if they have less earned income, then that's the amount of the limitation.
Is there a lifetime max?
There is, and that's $35,000.
Okay.
So it's got limited application, but for some people, that'll help quite a bit. Matter of fact, we have a client that's doing that now. We're setting up the Roth for his daughter, who's she's already finished graduate school, and so he's going to do that conversion. So it works out great for them.
That's a nice little present to get from, you know, mom and dad or whatever.
Yeah, well, you're basically turning an asset that was really meant for education for that individual into a retirement benefit, right. And it's a great starter.
It is. All right. Well, Peter, I know you've talked about IRA taxation, Roth conversions in past podcasts, as you mentioned, too. And I think we're going to be talking about this again in the future.
Lots of
questions. Yeah. There's always more to this than they seem at, you know, right at first. So I like I say, I think we'll be talking about this a lot more.
I think that's true. And I've said it before, it isn't what you know that's important. It's what you don't know that can get you into trouble. So, you know, if you're not taking into account all of the limits, limitations, issues, you can get yourself into trouble, frankly. And we've seen that in the past. For example, the Roth conversion, mm-hmm. Where someone converts a portion of their non-deductible traditional IRA to a Roth, but they didn't consider all the other IRA money, and they got a tax hit, and they weren't expecting it. And so I want to just stress how important it is to consider each person individually and a family's comprehensive planning when you're doing this kind of work. You know, all the issues I talked about before are going to affect the results. And, you know, taxes, estate planning, risk management, income planning, it all needs to be brought together. It's hard to make a decision in a vacuum. And I think that the process of comprehensive planning just really gives people the best results. And that's why I think it's so important for everyone to think about it holistically. I think it helps to work with a planner that can guide you through this process, ask the right questions, think about the nuances, think about the complexity and how it might affect you.
Well, Peter, how can listeners reach you? Because I'm sure there will be questions.
I hope there are questions. And if they want to see some examples of what I'm talking about, we've got some nice flow charts that describe that. But they can go to our website, raskinplanning.com. Our contact information is there. I would recommend that you talk to someone like myself, your accountant, other professional advisors that can really guide them through this process, and especially around IRAs, because it is complex.
Yeah. All right. So listeners, don't get lost in the weeds and don't get lost in the rules of IRAs, and don't miss an episode of The Wealth is in the Details. Follow or subscribe to this podcast. And of course, please share with others. And thanks for being with us.
Thank you for listening to The Wealth is in the Details podcast. Click the subscribe button below to be notified when new episodes become available.
The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Lincoln Financial Advisors Corp. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment planning. Peter Raskin is a registered representative of Lincoln Financial Advisors. Securities offered through Lincoln Financial Advisors Corp., a broker-dealer, member SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Sagemark Consulting, a division of Lincoln Financial Advisors, a registered investment advisor. Insurance offered through Lincoln Affiliates and other fine companies. Raskin Planning Group is a marketing name for registered representatives of Lincoln Financial Advisors. Lincoln Financial Advisors Corporation and its representatives do not provide legal or tax advice. You may want to consult a legal or tax advisor regarding any legal or tax information as it relates to your personal circumstances.